Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Tuesday, August 25th, 2015. Man, it seems like it should be Friday already. There's so much going on and with the markets and in the gold and silver and Wall Street, and a lot of things have been packed into 2 days, Al. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody. I'm not interested in it being Friday yet.
Oh, man. Oh, and it's been an exciting week if you're owning gold and silver, and not so exciting if you're owning paper. But let's go ahead and see what gold is doing today.
I'm sure they've been plenty excited.
Let's go ahead and see what gold is doing today. Gold is down 14.10 right now at 1141.80. You have silver down 16 cents at 1473. Platinum is down $15 at $980, and palladium taking the whack on the day, almost 7%. Sounds like China's stock market down $38 at $540. So those of you who are holding palladium, I'd be getting out of it before it goes any lower. And that was another good call that I had. I said you wouldn't see palladium much over 800. It did move a little bit over 800. I said it would never get to 1,000, and it never did. And the only time it went to 1,000 once before, it was a Ford play, and it was rigged to get to 1,000. And palladium maintained up there around 800, a little over 800 for a little bit, and we're at 540 today. You have the USDX today trading a little bit stronger, 0.71 at 94.12. Crude oil up 59 at 38.83, and everything has really taken a reversal. Both the USDX and crude oil was up higher on the day, so was the dollar. And let's get to the paper markets, because there was a lot of action in the last half hour of trade. As I mentioned yesterday, you'll see big moves in the last hour of trade, specifically the last half hour. The Dow down 1.33%, down 204 points. It was up all day, 300 points. It was matching the European markets, but the Dow couldn't hold it. Up, down 204 points at 15,666.57. The Nasdaq, and I don't have to tell you what those numbers mean. The Nasdaq is down 19 points at 45.06, and the S&P down 25 at 18.67. But I also think that was the second time in a week that the Dow had hit the 666 number somewhere in its numbers, or one of the three index. I'm not sure which one, but it's the second time that I've seen that number recently. 10-year yield was up a little bit stronger today, so they were feeling a little bit safer with the stock market up most of the day. The 10-year yield, 2.13%, 0.14. The euro is 1.15. It's certainly gaining strength, and it's off for the day, 0.86, and it's still at 1.15. So the euro is doing good, and...
You're saying that it's gaining strength against the dollar. Well, the dollar is, they're going to cheer on that. The dollar will be, that means the dollar is inflating, which in theory the Federal Reserve thinks will stimulate the economy, and the Europeans have to be upset. If the euro is becoming more valuable, that's evidence of deflation. That'll tend to slow their economy down.
Yeah, well, the euro's got, well, the U.S. dollar is stronger also, certainly off its high, but the euro needs a long way to go before they can start talking about any deflationary impacts. I mean, they had a one.
It's moving in that
direction.
Hey,
when it's at 140, when it's at 140, then they can complain. But at this level, coming off as low of 108, I don't think it makes much. But
no, it doesn't make a big difference. Another leaf in the breeze. That's all we're talking about.
But the rest of the markets today, I believe you saw a lot of the Asian markets. With very little change. Japan was still down 4%, down over 700 points. London was up 3%. Germany was up almost 5%. So I really thought, and the U.S. was following those markets, and it surprised me they couldn't hold that gain. And they held it most of the day, and I was watching it drop this last half hour. It was kind of, you know, surprising. But so that's pretty much it in the markets. Great time. I can't imagine if the markets continue. All the sectors, the three-month performance on the sectors, they're all down. The biggest one was the energy and minerals and electronic technology. They were down the most, along with transportation. And but they were all in negative territory today. And I didn't see the volumes. I know last week there were very low volumes in the markets, and I haven't been able to check to see what the volumes were in this past 2 days. But, you know, they did bring out all the damage control speakers of the past 2 days, and we'll just have to follow this through, see how it works. But, you know, don't concentrate on, get protected, folks. I mean, you were given a gift today with gold and silver lower in these markets, because we don't know when it will be reversed. And so, you know, take advantage of the gift and make sure you're protected in your gold and silver portion of your portfolio. And a lot of action going on. And we did see gold reverse a little bit today. We did have it down as low as 1134 and as high as 1156. So it is struggling at this area, but and silver was over 15, so a little bit of pressure on those most of the day.
I think the interesting thing is that the market, the Dow, for example, still wound up over $200 down or 200 points down.
I know. That's right.
Problem we're having here has been diminished dramatically. We're not on the edge of panic the way some people may have been just yesterday or the day, last Friday. But this is not yet over. The problem has been diminished, that's for sure, and the urgency of the problem has been diminished. But on the other hand, the Dow is still down 200 points. And if you look at a graph of the day, it came up from its open of 15,882, and it rose quickly. Within 40 minutes or so, it was up to the daily high is 16,312. It went up 500 points in a short period of time. And then spent the rest of the day kind of bouncing along, and finally, starting around 3 p.m. in the last hour, it dropped. And rather than have a gain, and it fell, you know, we wound up with a 200-point loss, over 200 points for the day. This problem is not yet resolved. It may be that we'll see, the markets will see actual gains tomorrow. Maybe that'll happen. We'll see, but we didn't lose 500 points, but we did lose 200. So
ending the day that we did, ending the day that the way the paper markets did, it would be hard to believe that it would be up strong tomorrow. But, you know, again, we'll just have to wait and see. This is a, you know, this is a...
Well, one of the points about it is it did take off like a skyrocket in the first 40 minutes.
That's my point, yeah.
Yeah.
So I can't...
That indicates somebody's that suggests to me that somebody's attempting to manipulate the market, and it's probably, you know, we can speculate, maybe it was a plunge protection team and maybe it wasn't, I don't know, but somebody pushed it. It's just almost a vertical line, bang.
Well, China did cut its interest rates for the fifth time in 9 months today, trying to shore up some of their slowing of their economic growth and try to ease fears that their currency will continue to fall further in value. And so they're trying to do what is possible to stem up their markets. And I saw an article today. I'm not sure if I kept it or not. I had some my own problems today on the internet, but maybe we can bring it tomorrow, or maybe I'll just put it in the newsletter for next week on the American Survival. Well, there was over 1,200 stops on the market yesterday. And I'll have to see if I can find it.
1,200 stops.
Yeah, where they stopped trading because of the drops in the stock market. It was interesting to see how many. It was like 1,200 of them. So
you're talking one every 30 seconds. I don't know how long the markets are open, but how long is the market open during the day?
From 9:30 to 4.
All right, so we're talking 6.5 hours. It's more frequent than that. It's probably in the neighborhood of every 20 seconds. We'd have to look and see if that number was accurate, about 1,200. We'll have to check and see if that's... But if it was happening that quickly, yeah, it would be only they just stop it for, who knows, second or two, bang, put it back on. Stop it again every 20 seconds, something like that.
Yeah, it is interesting to read those articles. I had it to bring it to the program, and I'll look for it while you're talking today, Al, but...
Well, I wasn't going to say anything.
Aren't you going to say anything today?
No, I thought I'd be completely quiet.
Well, here's some good news. 46% think Hillary should suspend her campaign, and you know, I can't imagine that's any big surprise, but you can call it a, you know, good news. And you know, it really is. I've watched a couple of these politicians being interviewed in the various programs and so forth, and you know, you just keep asking yourself, is this the best we have? Is this all we have for presidential?
I actually thought, yeah, we got some crazy people up there, and we have, I mean, the Democrats, you know, Hillary's hold on the Democrat Party is almost a little amazing. It's evidence that these people are really kind of fanatical in their own way. All right, she's a woman. That's going to attract a bunch of females, and she's got a few other things. And the people that are, I mean, they're zealous in their support, and I don't think it matters if she's caught committing murder. All right? Find her hunched over the body with a bloody knife in her hand. It still won't be enough to change some of them. No, I still want Hillary. But it really is... It's embarrassing. The woman's probably subject to criminal investigation right now. She's sat back and paid little or no attention. Some people believe she's responsible to a significant degree for the deaths of four men in Benghazi. And her fine and her classic remark was, "What difference does it make?" It's just an idea, you know, a comment kind of taken out of context. It's offhand. It's one of the we all say stupid things once in a while.
Yeah, but the position that she held at the time she said it, no, I can't give that excuse for someone like that.
I get that.
No, I mean you don't say.
For George Bush. George Bush could say dumb things periodically, and people just went along with it.
Yeah, but it wasn't
still,
to the point when four
choice.
Men's
it was
lives
best,
were lost.
Unfortunate choice of words. But then this email thing, and. She just seems to be, you know, destined to attract lightning. I wouldn't want to ride with her on the same airplane.
You probably just, never would, because she has her
Yeah, I agree. She wouldn't want to ride with me either, I'm sure. She's like, oh, don't let that idiot on my plane. It's just, feeling's probably mutual, but still there's... Sometimes people should just have the good grace to say, all right, I've had enough, I quit. You know? She's got to be going through a situation where she's feeling like someone's beating on her with a stick every single day. Something else is happening. And she's determined to toughen it out.
Hey,
but I just can't see. And I think what they've done in the past, I might have mentioned this yesterday, but Hillary and Bill have gotten away with a lot while in public office. And I think they've come to develop a sort of natural contempt for American voters, a certain natural cynicism that simply says, we can get away with anything we want to do. And if that's true, I think she's much surprised that maybe she can't. Maybe the voters have finally just hit the gag reflex finally and said, no, we're not going to put another criminal entity in the White House. No. So, I don't know. Has the public hit the gag reflex, Melody? Or are we going to vote for whoever gives us promises of chicken in every pot?
Probably a little bit of both.
You keep doing that to me, Melody. I pose a question, I try to either or, and you've given me a both every time.
Well, I don't know if this is good.
Spoiling my fun. You understand that? You're spoiling my fun.
You know, it's interesting. I mean, we talk about no one ever goes to jail. There's so much inside trading and so forth. Well, gee, the SEC finally found somebody that they could actually charge. There was an analyst, J.P. Morgan, a security analyst in San Francisco. He's been charged with insider trading. And, I mean, you could have all of Wall Street,
yeah, you know.
But... And he only made $600,000. You know, what about all these banks and everything else, these huge brokerage houses, these mutual funds, these hedge funds who make billions of dollars the way they short the markets and, you know, and all their naked shorts and everything and all their inside trading. And this poor little guy netted more than $600,000. And
which means
he gets arrested.
What?
He gets arrested.
Of course. Why? He can't afford to hire a law firm with enough clout to give the government a run for its money. But you go after these guys who are making billions of dollars, they can absolutely overpower the government with their law firms. They got the money to play the game. This guy, $600, he couldn't afford. He's going to be lucky to find an attorney who'll take the case.
You know, and that's the article that we published in American Survival about how they get away with it, how they do this insider trading and how they rig these markets and how they all work together in order to complete it. And, you know, this guy obtained insider information about upcoming mergers and acquisitions and between 2011 and 2013, him and his buddies used the information to make advanced trades. I mean, who in their brother wouldn't do that? Hey, if you had insider, if you knew there was going to be a merger and acquisition, wouldn't you make advanced trades? But then they used the profits to cover previous trading losses. And it sounds like our banks and, you know. But they're being charged with 30 counts of conspiracy, securities fraud, tender offer fraud, and wire fraud. And if convicted for $600,000, they get 20 years each. 20
Such
years, no, 20 years for each fraud count.
Well, 20 years for all of them put together is still quite a lot.
Yeah.
But 20 years for each count, and you say there's something like 30 counts?
Yeah.
Well, that's only 600 years.
A year for the $600,000 that they...
So let's take a break while we contemplate their fate, and Melody and I will be back on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Here's an article from the New York Times. It says stock markets rebound despite continued sell-off in China. Standard & Poor's index rose about 2% at the open. In China, the benchmark Shanghai Composite closed 7.6% lower. The problem is still happening in China. That's one of the points here. Most other markets in Asia stabilized or rallied modestly. An exception was Japan, whose stocks closed down 4%. European equities rebounded, clawing back some of Monday's losses. FTSE 100 rose 2.9%. The Euro Stocks 50 rose 4.5%. The international and American oil benchmarks rebounded despite concerns about oversupply. As we said earlier in the program, the problems that we saw last week and Monday have apparently diminished and come under some measure of control. And one of the things about this is even though China's still going down, in serious declines in China, that does not appear to be responsible for whatever's happening in Europe and the United States. You know, there was speculation last Thursday and Friday, just how wedded are we to the Chinese markets? If they're going down, does that mean we have to, do we have to worry about that too? And that was the implication. That's what a lot of people thought in the midst of this significant decline, but today the evidence suggests China's on its own. And whatever is going on here, we are either being shielded by market manipulation or the markets are no longer, they're not objectively subject to whatever whatever's happening in China. The link is not actual so much as psychological and something people might fear. Apparently, the big market decline has been slowed. It's not necessarily over. There was no substantial panic in the U.S. markets. So we're left to wonder, if China's falling and the markets aren't falling today, was the decline we saw on Thursday, Friday, and Monday, were those declines merely some sort of a glitch? Or does it signal deeper problems in the U.S. markets and the economy? What caused it? If China's not causing us to go down and causing American markets to fall today, then we have to sit back and say, well, China didn't really cause American and European markets to fall on Thursday and Friday and Monday. So what caused it? And that's an interesting mystery that we're going to have to sit back and wonder about. Is it a signal? Is it just a glitch? Is it something the equivalent of a flash crash? Or is it evidence of something deeper that is just beginning to be explored? We're catching a whiff of it, but we haven't caught a dose of it just yet. What do you think, Melody?
Well,
is China causing the source of our woes, or are we the source of our woes?
Well, I mean, I think what they're trying to do is to distinguish the difference between China's economy and our economy. However, I believe the markets, the stock markets, the derivatives, you know, however you, the bonds, I mean, look at the amount of treasuries China owes. We are connected, whether anybody wants to admit it or not. So, yeah, they could, you know, loosely define the difference between, you know, China's economy and ours, and I think that's what they're trying to do. However, I think the weaknesses here in this country, as we mentioned before, that we certainly, you know, we don't, have what needs to, you know, this country is hurting. I mean, they're extending the rates. You know, Yellen made the announcements. Well, yeah, we're not going to do the rates now until next year. And certainly we're following the direction of the IMF, Christine Lagarde. And so we're not, so now we're getting instructions, you know, from outside of our, you know, Washington. So, and perhaps that had, perhaps that was so prior to now, but at least it was always behind closed doors. Now it's like, hey, folks, so.
Well, they've learned from Hillary. You don't want to send any messages by email. That's going to be a problem. No private messages. We'll just talk about it over the media.
But people are having a difficult time. And, you know, we look at the dollar getting stronger, but the things that we deal with, things that people buy, their food, things are more expensive. And they're not going down. The only time they go down is if there's a major sale or something. And, you know, your TVs, maybe your cell phones are going down. But our heating oil, our gasoline prices, we haven't seen much in the falling of gasoline prices. And, you know, and everybody thought that, you know, with the drop in gas oil, we'd see this in our gas prices, and we haven't. And so things are not good in this land.
No, and I think, you know, how do we explain what happened, though, in Thursday, Friday, and Monday?
Well, of course, there's a natural connection to China in the markets. I mean, you got all these derivatives connected together. They own how much trillions in our treasuries? Of course, it's connected.
Well, I understand that. And I think the bigger point is, I think maybe the connection is everybody's a little bit worried. There's been a loss of confidence. And I think the loss of confidence, whatever happened, you know, what caused Thursday, Friday, and Monday? What caused that? And I don't think anyone has an answer for that in terms of where they can point to a specific cause and say, that is exactly something happened. And I think those declines are evidence more of lost confidence among American investors and European investors than it is where you can point to a single cause. It's like they use that snowflake and avalanche analogy. You've probably all heard it, where we see the avalanche, the weight of the snow is building up. We know there's going to be an avalanche. We just don't know which snowflake will be the one that finally triggers the avalanche. Somebody, oh, that one, that snowflake, that was the one that... No, the problem is we've accumulated so much snow, we're just waiting on the avalanche. We don't know which snowflake is going to do it. And what we saw in the last three market days is perhaps evidence people are worried about the avalanche.
I think the biggest item that I see is the oil prices. I mean, when the oil prices started to drop like a rock, and you had all these emerging markets who were living highly on the higher oil prices, and you had a lot of investment go into these emerging markets from all around the world, and it's coming back to bite everyone. And if I had to point to one specific thing that really started the ball rolling months ago, I'd have to say it'd be the big, huge drop in oil prices in the commodity sector. And that is, you know, I don't think it was the strength in our dollar. I don't think, I don't think it was the Chinese. Certainly it did have an impact when they started tinkering with their currency. But really it was a big drop, the rapid drop in oil pricing.
There's an article from the Telegraph, the English publication, written by Ambrose Evans Pritchard. And the headline is China's Market Leninism Turns Dangerous for the World. Mm-hmm. Now this isn't part of his article, but he raises some points that imply a cause for the decline in the Chinese situation. Not to say the United States or European, perhaps as consequence of China, but he offers something here that makes me suspect maybe there's a cause here we can point to. The article says markets no longer believe China's communist leaders are in full control of the country's $27 trillion debt bubble, mm-hmm. or know how to manage fast-moving events. A sudden loss of confidence in the anchor economy of East Asia has struck. Beijing's botched efforts to prop up the country's stock markets have collapsed. Those botched efforts were China's version of quantitative easing, which hasn't worked in this country either. And as we've talked, I think Friday and also Monday, there was an article released by St. Louis Federal Reserve Vice President Williamson, I don't recall, a white paper, where he says, look, QE doesn't work. Neither do these low interest rates. And if he's right, and particularly if he's expressing the idea, the consensus of people at the Federal Reserve, it means they don't have many, there's not much left that they can do. And if China, they went on an estimated $300 billion of state-orchestrated buying achieved nothing. This was quantitative easing, overwhelmed by an avalanche of selling by investors forced to cover margin debt. China is burning through foreign reserves at a blistering pace to stabilize the yuan and offset capital flight, estimated at $35 billion a week. Now, capital flight, they didn't expand on that point particularly, but this strikes me as potentially important. The Chinese, the wealthy Chinese, are trying to get their money out of China. They're sitting back and they're saying, this thing's going down. And they want out to the tune of $35 billion per week. That's $150 billion per month removed from the Chinese economy. Now, that's almost twice as much currency being removed from the Chinese economy each month as the $80 billion per month that was added to the U.S. economy each month under quantitative easing 3. Now, when you look at these numbers, they're pulling $150 billion out of their, according to this report, they're pulling $150 billion is being removed from the Chinese economy every month. Quantitative easing 3 was injecting $80 billion into the U.S. economy during, quantitative easing 3. Now, you look at these numbers, they're losing almost twice as much money per month out of their economy as quantitative easing 3 was injecting into the U.S. economy. That strikes me as a significant figure. And that might be the basis for understanding what happened in China. Maybe the Chinese people, and that may be, and it actually makes perfect sense. It's not just $35 billion per week that's going out of the economy. It's probably $35 billion a week that's coming out of their stock market, or a big chunk of it. The people that have the money to move and get offshore, where do they have their money? They probably have it in the Chinese stock market, or at least a lot of it in the Chinese stock market. So it makes a certain amount of sense that if they're pulling out $35 billion a week, that would contribute to the market decline. At the same time, the currency supply in China is being diminished by $150 billion a month. That's got to slow things down. That's got to be bad for the economy. So maybe this is the explanation for what's at least happened to China, and what happened to the rest of us, I don't know. What do you think, Melody?
Pardon?
I said, what do you think?
Well, absolutely. I agree. I mean, it's those numbers, and it really could be.
It's an interesting possibility. It's one of those things, and...
But, you know, I mean, this thing is... I mean, you really don't know where the pin was pricked.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, you could go back and you could say, you know, with me staying with the oil, I mean, look at the investment that China has had with these emerging markets that are getting hammered with the lower prices. Why are the lower prices for oil where they are? It's because of Saudi Arabia is coming in there. You got the U.S. making arrangements or agreements with Iran. I mean, it's just like I really, truly believe they're doing these things. But these situations are occurring because of, I think there's a bigger picture going on than just the markets and the money that's being moved around. And I really do believe there is not a currency war going on, but a financial war going on. And I'm not even quite sure that's the proper term. But you have these countries that are positioning themselves, that they're doing these things, and each country, whatever they're doing, is setting off a new snowball sort of thing. But really, if you go back and, you know, it's the oil. I mean, look what, and you'd have to think when China is trying to make these agreements with these, you know, Brazil and India and so, and some of them, you know, Venezuela, where oil, Nigeria, oil is so important, it's got to come back and slam China.
Well, you know, one of the interesting points that hadn't crossed my mind up until now, if $150 billion a month are being removed from the Chinese economy every month, $150 billion, where's it going? If it's coming out of the Chinese stock market, well, where are the people who owned, they did previously own Chinese stock, and they've taken $150 billion out this month, where have they parked it? Are they buying land? Are they buying, what are they buying with it? Are they buying the U.S. stock market, the European stock markets? Where are they placing that $150 billion per month? And that's an interesting question, and it even casts some doubt on whether capital flight is as great as reported in this article from The Telegraph. Maybe it's not $35 billion a week, $150 billion per month, because if it was, something should be growing. Something should be going up. Okay, we take it out, take $150 billion out of this investment. We're going to put it over in this investment. Well, where did that $150 billion go? We don't know. I'm going to check under my desk while we take a break and check just to see if they may have parked it down here under my desk, Melody. Melody and I will be back on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kits. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. Did you have something you wanted to interject, Melody?
No, and that would be, and I would just want to remind the listeners, if you ever want to give us a call, and we'd be love to hear your comments or questions, 800-932-1980. That's 1-800-932-1980. Zero.
And that's the number to reach the radio program.
That is correct. Mm-hmm. That is correct.
Okay. Here's an article from the Associated Press. IRS says thieves stole tax info from additional 220,000. That's the headline. A computer breach at the IRS in which thieves stole tax information from thousands of taxpayers is much bigger than the agency originally disclosed. An additional 220,000 potential victims had information stolen from the IRS website as part of a sophisticated scheme to use stolen identities to claim fraudulent tax refunds. The revelation more than doubled the total number of potential victims to about 334,000. Well, that's not such an enormous number in the context of the United States, 344,000, but just the same. It's another one of those, it's another one of those incidents that proves that there is no secrecy or legitimate safety on the Internet. When you're doing financial transactions on the Internet, I don't care what anybody says. I mean, you can get through, it'll work. I get that. But if you think you've got 100% protection, that's simply irrational. That's simply not the story at all. And it begins to look as if hackers and identity theft is so easy. Huh? That maybe instead of sending your kids to college to get a degree in physics or engineering or something along those lines where they can make a legitimate income, maybe just send them to a hacker school for 30 days or maybe a couple of months and they can learn how to be robbers and thieves. Now, I'm being facetious here, but the amount of money it takes to learn how to hack and to steal someone's identification that education is a lot less than whatever it costs to get a bachelor's degree or a master's or a doctorate in any of the conventional universities. And it's happening and happening and happening. And what's going to happen to these 334,000 people who lost their identities? They dealt with the IRS, and their identities have been captured by some thieves, hackers. Now, presumably, they're going to suffer some financial losses. Somebody's going to make those losses up. And it may be the banks, it may be the taxpayers. I don't know who's going to get stuck with the bill. But this kind of story is happening too often. We saw reports it was tens of millions of people had their financial information hacked out of Target back 6 months ago, whenever. We've seen similar stories around the world. I mean, is there anyone who hasn't had their identity lifted? How do you protect yourself? This is the kind of information that has to make everyone a little bit wary. If you're going to do any financial business over the internet, I understand that it'll work mostly, but it's not guaranteed. It's risky. Better know what you're doing and how to protect your information by encryption or whatever else is necessary. In any case, 334,000 that they admit to at the moment, 334,000 had their tax information stolen from the Internal Revenue Service, and how can that give anyone much confidence? So, yeah, I'm going to file my tax information with the IRS over the internet. Or I'm going to rely on the internet, Internal Revenue Service to protect my information when it's up there in their office. The problem you have is if you're going to make a system that is sufficiently user friendly, where anybody can access the system to send their information, to place an order at Amazon, to buy something from Target. We just go in there and swipe the card. It's easy. It's simple. It's technology. But because it's so simple, it's also easily hacked.
Do you know how to solve the problem with the IRS? Make sure you don't have a refund. They don't want yours if they can't claim your refund. But so we have a caller, Al.
All right, Yvonne. Calling us.
Hello, Al and the Melody. How are we doing?
Hello. Just fine, good. Thank you.
Okay, good. Well, I have a question. Al, you said that there is no currency wars. I think we are in currency wars right now. I mean, we have seen China devalue their yuan by 2%. We see ruble falling. We see adjusting itself. We see other currencies in Europe, not Europe, but other countries which are East Europe, which is a part of NATO or European Union, and also, of course, other currencies in Asia and Middle East, which are changing vis-a-vis dollar and other things. So the only one which is kind of shielding us from anything is euro so far, and that won't be for long because there's going to be a reckoning day over there, particularly with their economy plus all the influx of the immigrants which are coming in 4,000 or 5,000 a day to Italy and Greece. So there is going to be a timeline where the economy will break because they won't be able to feed and support all the immigrants as well as their citizens themselves. So, I mean, the currency war will go into either a civil war or world war, I mean, it's normally what the thing is. I mean, the currency wars go back to Roman times if you study it under Nero and other Caesars who, instead of gold coins, they mixed in with different metal, zinc or lead, or stuff like that.
Let me just say one thing here. First off, I have not said that there's no currency war.
Let me say something. Okay. I'm the one that said we've been having a currency war for a very long time. I don't think it's a quote-unquote currency war that's just started that interrupted the markets that we've seen lately. Currency wars have been going on for a long time. Everyone has a fiat currency, and as long as that fiat currency was created, you're going to have countries that manipulate their currencies. They've been doing it for years. I remember talking with Bob Chapman 10 years ago about currency wars. So I think maybe currency wars where countries were manipulating the currencies to get their foot in their trade and so forth. And so, yes, that has been going on and has been going on for a very long time, but I don't think that was the main, you know, I think that's bigger now, and you know, and you talked about, you know, silver wars are created and so forth. I think we're beyond that initial currency war status, and we've moved on to the next phase.
Well, it may be bigger than just mere currency war, but the currency war continues. But what's the ultimate object of the currency war, Yvonne?
Well, the next step, you know, you start with economic problems, then you have currency wars, and then you have world wars, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, but what I'm getting to is, when we have a currency war, and my currency is fighting against your currency, what is it that each of us is fighting to achieve?
Well, you want to make exports. You want to make money. If your currency is high...
But it's actually... What they're trying to achieve is the United States, insofar as we are engaged in a currency war with China, for example,
mm-hmm.
we're trying to make our currency less valuable than the Chinese yuan, because if it is, then we can sell more exports, which is good for business and good for taxes and good for employment, so they say. But when we win the currency war, we're making our currency worth less. And China says, no, we're going to fight you over that. Our currency is worth even less than your currency. And then the euro comes in and says, you're both crazy. The euro is the currency that has the least value. That's the one you want to use. You want to buy our products because ours are cheaper because our currency has the least value. There is an element of insanity that's involved in currency war. It's irrational, and it's based on the fundamental irrational idea that we can not only have a currency that's fiat around the world. Our currency, we just make it up. They make theirs up. Somebody else makes theirs up. It's not just fiat. It's debt-based. We are treating debt as a form of wealth to back up this currency. The whole thing is crazy. It's insane. And for that reason, it's going to explode. We just don't know.
I agree with you on that. We are coming to an end quickly. And today what happened, a 600 point swing on Dow, and we were -2. 205 or 210 or whatever was the final number, but the other thing is, now what can we export? I mean, we put all our factories all over the world, from China to Vietnam to Mexico to wherever, where they were, you know, cheaper slave labor, you know. So now we really, if you want to export something, I mean, I don't know what we have. I mean, we used to have a good farming industry, okay? But they pay farmers not to plant anymore. They pay here. I mean, money is being spent here to devalue the farming value. I mean, their product, okay? If it's wheat or corn or whatever. I mean, they can only plant so many acres, and that's it, you know. And the rest, they'll get paid by the government so much not to plant. And so this is
that's
the problem.
That's part of the insanity. That's like treating debt as if it was wealth.
Yeah,
I'm
agree.
Not an asset.
I mean,
it's a debt. It's crazy. It's crazy paying people not to grow food. I know that reason, and there's reasons and rationales for doing this. I get that. But I can these reasons finally be sufficient to overcome the benefits of a free market? There's risk in a free market. I'll give you that. It can go up. It can go down. It's more, less predictable than a managed, centrally controlled markets we have right now. But in the long run, are we better off with free markets where we just say, look, farmer, if you want to plant cotton, plant cotton. If you lose your butt, too bad for you. All right? We're not going to pay you not to plant cotton.
I mean, it is up to the farmer to decide what he wants to plant, whether he thinks he, you know, the next bubble will go or next, you know, higher price. But you see, even in Europe, you have, in France, you had last week big demonstrations and they were spilling milk and whatever, you know, all kinds of products, farming products, on the streets of Paris and other cities. Because they have limits of what they can export and whatever they cannot. So particularly the boycott with Russia, they cannot send to Russia, sell to Russia and some other countries. So you know we are limiting our exports to Europe or Europe to U.S. and they both are hurting financially. So there is really there won't be any export or import or whatever coming among anyone else. And this PPT, all these Pacific treaties, what they are trying to make, I mean, it will be worthless because...
Well, you know, you make a good point here. What is it that we intend to export? Because the fundamental idea behind engaging in currency war is to cheapen the value of your currency and cheapen the value of the products you're selling that you are exporting. What if you're not exporting anything? Why do you want to be involved in a currency war?
Well, I agree.
It doesn't make sense. We have nothing to export. Why are we participating in a currency war?
Well, I think it's one is to suck up all the real values of the country and then let the crash come on if it's Dow and S&P or whatever, that there won't be much left to be the next implosion of the economy itself. Here, Europe,
we're
going
to have to let it go, Yvonne. We're going to have to let it go. Thank you for your call. We are out of time. I think the lesson out of this last segment of the program is that the economy and the financial system is so irrational. Of course it's going to crash. You understand? This is like trying to fly a plane that has only one wing. It's crazy. This thing's coming down. When? I don't know. But it's coming down. We're out of time. Thank you for listening. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back tomorrow. Hope you'll tune in at that time. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, Frank, the producer, and Yvonne. Just called in on the phone. Bye-bye.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. There never seems to be a single penny left for me.